All right, Alexander, let's talk once again about Christopher Steele. And we did a video on this the other day. And a lot of the video was based on a John Solomon article that he put out detailing the UK court's decision with regard to Christopher Steele. We detailed that decision. We talked about that decision in great detail. And you laid out exactly what that decision was from the UK courts and what it meant. And sure enough, we now have Trump referencing the article from John Solomon that we analyzed, and you added your own analysis to it, as well as an article from Greg Jarrett, which also talks about that UK High Court decision. So we see a lot of activity now based on that UK court decision. I recommend people take a look at that video because we give a really good analysis as to what that decision really meant for Steele and for the US with regards to Steele, Russiagate, and Trump. And Trump said in his tweet, he said this: "This man should be extradited, tried, and thrown into jail. A sick liar who was paid by crooked Hillary and the DNC." We said in that video that the UK court, you said it, the big revelation was that the UK court ties Steele directly to Hillary. Yeah. So Trump is just basically saying what you said. And of course, he says it in a much more colorful way. Sick liar who was paid by crooked Hillary and the DNC. So you explained it one way. Alexander Trump obviously adds his spin to it. And then he sends a second tweet as well, based off of a Greg Jarrett article. Greg Jarrett is a Fox News contributor, correspondent. I believe he's in charge of legal affairs at Fox News. And Trump says this in his tweet: "Bring back Steele," with exclamation marks. So Alexander, get into this story.
I mean, we've been talking about this for a long time, and the fact that Steele really should be brought to the United States and questioned there in a public way, because first of all, he's clearly a major participant in the events which John Durham is investigating, which is, you know, this investigation into the origins of Russiagate. He's an absolutely key party to all of this. Not speaking to Steele, not interrogating Steele, makes no sense of that, any kind of investigation into Russiagate. What I find very interesting about Trump's tweets is that he's clearly got, actually, I mean, this is the thing about Trump. He says things, as you said, in his own colourful way, but he's obviously obtained some legal advice and analysis, because what he's put in there are all the elements of a fraud claim. He's saying this person was paid money and he lied. So the elements that seem to be coming together in all of these in this tweet is that he's saying that, you know, Steele was paid money by Hillary Clinton, obviously, paid money by other people in the United States, had some kind of relationship with the FBI as an informer, and he was providing information which was lying about it. So, and he's basing this to a great extent on what this court decision said. Now, this court decision didn't look too much into Steele's truthfulness, but two points came out in the court decision. One was that Steele changed his story completely over the course of the case. He provided two witness statements, and the judge said that the second witness statement contradicted the first in fundamental ways, and the two were basically incompatible with each other. And the second thing the judge said was that Steele didn't really check the information that he was given by his alleged sources, his so-called sources, to any real or very great extent. So what Donald Trump is doing is he's putting all of these pieces together. He can do that. He's president of the United States. He can do that. He's got all the best legal advice. And he's saying, clearly, there's a big fraud case here. Clearly, let's extradite Steele so that we can question him properly in the United States, and also prosecute him on that, on the charges related to this. That's Donald Trump's argument. That's how I read these tweets. Now, Steele will no doubt have lots of things to say in response. Always we come back to the presumption of innocence applying. I mean, it could be that he was gulled. It could be that he was led along by his various sources. But that's the line that Trump is taking. I think Steele needs to be sent to the United States or to go to the United States to answer the fundamental questions about the origins of Russiagate. If there's going to be criminal charges based on the kind of claims that Trump is making, well, that's another matter. That's a matter for the investigators, for the Justice Department, for the police officials of the United States. But I will watch and wait with great interest, and I'll be very interested to see what happens.
Yeah, we've been saying it for 3 years now, the better part of three, 4 years. If you want to get to the truth of Russiagate, you have to bring Steele to the U.S. and you have to bring Assange to the U.S. But before Steele leaves the U.K., Alexander, Steele has been up to some funny business in the U.K. as well. Is that correct?
This is entirely true, and actually very, very remarkable what he's been up to. And very remarkable that he's been given attention. Now, what he did was that he provided yet another dossier. Can I explain what this is all about? Way back last year, there was a parliamentary investigation by a parliamentary committee into, wait for it, Russian interference in British politics. And who did they turn to? The number one expert on the subject. This is last year, mind you, who is, of course, Christopher Steele. And he provided a dossier, which we haven't seen, which was, of course, looked at by these MPs, these parliamentarians, who promptly then produced a report on it, which, again, we haven't seen, because Boris Johnson, who appears to be the target both of the report and of Steele's dossier, we're putting the dots together, but that's how it looks like, has been very careful to prevent publication of both. Now, that has resulted in a media campaign, primarily by The Guardian, to get this parliamentary report published. And it has also, of course, involved talking about Steele and building up Steele as the great expert on Russian things, which, given what we know about him and given what the good people at The Guardian know about him, must know about him, is astonishing. I mean, you know, you get this utterly discredited figure, which, to be very clear, as far as I'm concerned, Christopher Steele is, and you still continue to go to him as a source for information and analysis about Russia, even though his dossier has been, the dossier that was used in the Russiagate investigations has been completely discredited. And you still, build him up, make him out to be the great expert, suppress all information, because in Britain, it's never been reported to the extent that it has in the United States how Steele's dossier there has been completely debunked. You still go on building up this person. I find it bizarre. I mean, I find it so bizarre. I find it, you know, weird beyond words. I don't have any words for it. And I wonder how long it can be sustained, because if what Trump says is true, and an extradition case is brought, and, you know, bear in mind, the United States can request the extradition of people, and there's the bare bones of a case, case in fraud set out, it seems to me, in Trump's tweets. I'm not saying it's true. I'm not saying anything of that kind. I'm just saying that there is the bare bones of a case there. I would have thought, based on the present extradition proceeding treaty, that it's highly likely, to quote a phrase, that Mr. Steele will find his way to the United States. Perhaps in his own interests, he should take a plane and go there and get himself some lawyers.
Yeah, I agree. The guy tried to smear Trump. He tried to smear Boris Johnson. I suggest that Trump and Boris get on a phone call and say, you know what? Trump should say, you know what, Boris? Just send him to the U.S. and we'll deal with him. And Boris should say, yeah, it's a good idea. Yeah. Donald, we'll send them over, and we'll get rid of this troublemaker once and for all.
I know.
He's a troublemaker.
Absolutely. Many, many, many people in Britain, by the way, will be extremely nervous about this. I mean, these tweets that Donald Trump has been pouring out today are for the intelligence community in Britain and for many people in the media. They're a bad dream. They are what they have been dreading, I suspect, for months. Not just Steele himself, but lots of other people. And if I can be a little bit more, analytical, I have wondered whether some of these attempts to build up Steele that we have been seeing over the last couple of weeks in the British media haven't been in preparation for the extradition claim from the United States that may now be coming. In other words, that his supporters are trying to construct a defense for him in advance of that claim. But as I said, there are many people right across the entire British political system and national security bureaucracy who will be very concerned about this. And they will be very concerned also about the fact that this is coming in the run-up to an election, and that Britain, you know, has now found itself caught up in an American political conflict. But, you know, that was their own fault. They were heavy supporters or backers of Russiagate, so they brought it on themselves.
Yeah. Drain the swamp. You want to drain the swamp in the US and the UK? Get Steele to talk. There you
absolutely
go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And can I just say something? I mean, you need it in the United States, and we absolutely need it over here too. Because, this whole Russiagate, in my opinion, had its origins in Britain. Now, I'm not saying there weren't American actors involved. I'm sure Hillary Clinton, DNC, all kinds of people. But Peter Brennan from, you know, the CIA. But there were definitely people in Britain who were involved in all of this. And, of course, we know the name. One, Christopher Steele.
What an incredible story.
All right, well, it is, absolutely. Never ceases to amaze me about all of this. But there we are.
All right. Alexander McCurse, Editor-in-Chief of the Durant. Thank you very much. Guys, like this video, click on the subscribe button down below. Click on that notifications bell. Please donate to us on PayPal, Patreon, and subscribe. Star, your donation really helps out this channel a lot. And go to the Durant shop, pick up some magic mugs. We actually may have we have new magic mugs. And I'm sure you have the US one and the UK one there.
Absolutely. I don't actually have the UK one because my wife has it. But I have another country there that got itself involved in Russiagate, which is, of course, Australia. The Australian High Commissioner was deeply implicated in setting up the whole Russiagate story. So here is the United States on this side, and here is Australia, two great English-speaking nations. We in Britain feel very close to both. We feel especially close to our cousins in Australia, where, by the way, there's also a very big Greek community, a thriving Greek community. And of course, the United States is the country that Britain fought alongside in the Second World War and has had this extraordinarily strong relationship with. So these are two wonderful mugs. And I've spoken often about the Durant's mugs. They are the best mugs in the world. We also have smaller mugs. Now, this one is of Greece and it's the Greek flag. Alex and I are both Greeks. And of course, we're proud to have our own flag on the Durant mug. The double-headed eagle, by the way, is our own. You can see the flags there within the double-headed eagle, but that is the Durant's double-headed eagle. It is not connected to that of any country. And in fact, we have it now also on another mug of our own. So you can see what wonderful mugs these are. They're the best mugs in the world. I speak as the world expert on mugs, having had hundreds, probably thousands in my lifetime, since I started drinking tea and coffee as in my mid-teens. So I know all about mugs, and I can tell you without any doubt, these are the best. And we also have the best shirts. We've got polo shirts like the one I'm wearing now, and t-shirts, long-sleeved and short-sleeved, and v-neck shirts, and all 100% cotton, all beautifully made. And we also have hats, hoodies, and stickers, and an increasing and wonderful library of books. But the key and important thing is that we're getting a whole host of new wonderful products on our shop, not just amazing mugs like these, but also new shirts, lots of new things. So you can support the Durand by coming to our shop. You can find out about the new things that are there by looking at our shop. You can be the owner of these wonderful things, and Alex will tell you how to do that.
Just go to thedurandshop.com. You'll find the link in the description box down below. Alexander Mercuris, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.